talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsleps.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side of history.
General Holder, you've got to get us out of here now! I won't let you down, son.
Revolution.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
FreedomSlips.com, revolution.redo. Today is the 26th day of October, 2022. We are listener supported, so please do us that favor. Hook us up with any nomination, don't make no matter. This is a touchy subject. I have people that I know that are going through these kinds of conditions, and I just wish they really believed more in our Creator, God, our Father, whatever you want to call the one who started all this through the Matrix and Divine Right Order and any other thing that's going on, and that people could just be happy with who they are and try to find their truest self. without having to go overboard about their gender identity. So here we go. Speaking the unspeakable in the eye of the storm. Your audience is on. I'm actually going to reverse back because there's a lot here that's been in type and it's playing music and I can read it, but I'd rather read it to you without the music because it means a lot to the story. This is a special commentary for mature audiences only. The biological structure and consciousness of humankind is being artificially redefined and remade. The redefinition and remaking is being inserted and infused into every fabric of society. Biological gender and its innate intelligence is the process of being socially nullified as we know it. When we are discouraged from using the word mother and from referring to our own mothers, we know something is very seriously happening. After many years of deliberation, gender identity, speaking the unspeakable in the eye of the storm.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to It's Rainmaking Time. I'm Kim Greenhouse. If you don't know me, I've been doing some commentaries the last 6 months. And this, I would say, is probably the most challenging, complex commentary I've ever done and probably will ever do. It is the most loaded, charged, highly charged, cancelable piece of content you're going to hear in a long time. It is sad that you and I live at a time where you cannot strongly state something, passionately state something that you agree or disagree with in a number of subjects without being canceled or suppressed or censored. And because we live in this environment of intense suppression of discourse, not just in the United States, in different parts of the world, particularly online, I'm going to do my best to be as articulate, to be as sensitive, to give you something, food for thought, for critical thinking, and to ponder one of the most complex subjects happening today in society. That is the question of men and women, males and females, and gender. Now, why am I bringing this up and why am I doing a commentary about it? I think because a number of reasons. In 2014, I did a piece, a commentary when I was in England called The Complexity of, I think it was called The Complexity of the Trans, The Complexity in the Transgender Space. I think it was an 18-minute audio. For those of you that are interested in that subject, I want to invite you to listen to it and think about it. I never promoted it. It was just something that I did. And it came out at the time when Bruce Jenner went public about who he is and who he feels he is and who he feels he's always been. And it just happens to be that when I was in Berkeley on the Berkeley tennis team, I did a mixed doubles tournament with Bruce Jenner, a celebrity tournament. And so I was very interested. Excuse me. I wanted to interview him. I couldn't get to him. I tried to interview Chris Beck, and CNN had basically taken over that space. And Chris Beck was launching his career and next step in life. Excuse me. And so that didn't happen. But I also feel like I have a unique position in that I've been with men and women sexually, romantically, and I really feel like I have some things to say about that, maybe some confusion to clear up. But I also have some things to say about the transgender community in space and gender itself, being a male, being a female in society worldwide from the ancient times when humans first came online. And I don't mean online on the internet. I mean when humans came into the world till now. So I want to invite you to sit back. I have no idea exactly how I'm going to present this or what's going to come out of my mouth yet. I'm led by the Spirit, and the Spirit will guide me how I'm to introduce this. There's a lot of letting go and vulnerability in the introduction of it because I don't really know what I'm going to say yet. I've prepared, but you know, when you prepare to let go and then let things come through. Okay. I think the first thing I want to do, I have this beautiful rock, and I want you to take a look at it. Now, to me, it looks like this dark forest green rock that's very smooth, and it has light shades on it, okay, of green. Now, to most people, this is a green rock, okay? Even though it's smooth, it's a green, smooth rock. There are some people that are colorblind. They may not see this color like the rest of us, but most of us see this frequency of green, right? I have another pretty, it's not a rock, it's a crystal, an amethyst. Now, many of us will look at this amethyst and we will see the amethyst. We'll see the crystal. We'll see its articulate points, the lavender and purplish color it is. However, there are people that won't see this. They can't pick up that frequency. They don't see the way the rest of us see. Okay? They're not wrong. They're just colorblind. Or they don't see it. They see something else. And I bring this up because most of us, okay, are come into the world, I'd say all of us, through a body. We're not talking about the angels. We're not talking about spirits. Most humans come in through a human body, and that body either has a male structure or a female structure. Now, with that comes a consciousness, comes a something, comes a chi, comes prana, comes a very, very ancient way of being in that body and expressing through that body that makes one male or female. Okay? But even if somebody expresses differently through that body, you still come into your life. We come into our lives through a male or a female structure. And then there's what each society does with that, how they translate that, how they tell stories about that, how they attribute roles to beings that are born into that structure of body, what the expectations are, etc. When I was 16 years old, was it 16? Yeah, 16 years old, and I was in high school. You know what? I may have been 15 or 16. There was a time I was on the tennis team, and for some reason, at that time, there was this new, it wasn't a regulation, it was like a new school policy that women could play, girls can play on the boys' team. The boys couldn't play on the girls' team, but the girls could play on the boys' team if they wanted to. I don't know how this happened, but I remember talking to my mother and I said, what is that about? Why are they doing that? I mean, we never play boys when we play tournaments, ever. I mean, unless you're playing mixed doubles. I did play a lot of mixed doubles, but that's mixed doubles, you know, where boys and girls play together on the same side of the court, you know. And I just remember thinking it was kind of, it was off because the whole psyche, when you're playing sports, you know, there's a psychology and there's a psyche. You're not just playing that person's body. You're playing the mind of that person too. Girls and boys have different bodies. We have different musculature, different structures, and we operate them differently And with that comes a consciousness, comes subtlety, refinement, social refinement, cultural refinement that is true across the world. Also, what comes in that body is a cellular system, a molecular system, an atomic system, a physics system that's very ancient, a photonic system that's very, very ancient. And no matter what social policies we make today, you cannot change the ancientness of what we each carry in our blood, in our plasma, in our cellular system. We carry it with us. And now I want to talk about males and females. To say that I feel like a male if I'm in a female body is totally valid, in the same way it's valid for people that don't see this frequency of green to say, I don't see it. Okay. But that is a different relating to, it's a different declaration to say, this is white. And you have to accept that it's white because I feel like it's white. And then saying that to the entire human population. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's kind of what's going on. Now, is there a space for people that come into the world through a body, a gender that they don't identify with, that they don't like, that they don't feel comfortable in, that they can't stand, that they hate? There's a space for people. There is now a space to say it, to own it, and to navigate in it. And that should be there. I believe, right or wrong, that people come into their lives from other times and places, like a soul incarnates into a structure of being male or female, coming into a certain structure, and agrees to come into each lifetime or any lifetime with lessons to learn, things to get done, soul growth that there are commitments to, schedules of souls to meet and do things with. Sometimes it's to wrap up things with other souls. Sometimes it's to do things with other souls and live and travel and whatever it is. Okay. So when a person comes into their life and they have this kind of experiencing being in their structure and disliking it, detesting it, and feeling miserable about it, I believe that these beings have come in through another incarnation to deal with something very complex, very unusual, okay, and more in a rarity space. It's like they're in a unique tribe, okay? And that tribe should be treated well and understood and received. And they should never, ever, ever be violently attacked or anything like that. However, there also needs to be space for the general population who doesn't relate to it, doesn't understand it, is afraid of it, and doesn't want to associate with it. That's fair. I mean, there are cultures of people other cultures don't want to connect with and don't want to play with and don't want to do business with. It's all the time. It happens all the time. You know, I come from a Jewish family. A lot of Jewish people want to do business with Jewish people. I happen to know people from all over the world, from the Middle East, from England, from Australia, Canada, I mean, you know, India. And I know that every culture really likes to do business with their culture. They really do. They prefer it. It's more comfortable for them. From Iran, you know, It just is that way. It's not a bad thing. It's not a I hate these people thing. People want to associate with people they feel comfortable with, they understand, etc. I feel strongly that there's been a deliberate political agenda operating very much in the background to disconnect human beings, males and females, from their male and femaleness. I mean, saying that men can have babies, for example. You know, women have struggled a long time to be able to, I'm going to say, speak for myself, to express ourselves, to experience power without it being rejected, to own our power. We've worked very hard over long periods of time to be in the world, to be able to participate in the world, not exactly like men, not to be men, but to participate and have the opportunities and the access that men do. It's taken a long time. And by the way, not without ramifications socially, and not without collateral damage socially, but nevertheless. So to take away the female experience, and that means women who are in a structure of a woman's body, to take that away and say it doesn't exist. We're not going to call women women. We're not going to call mothers mothers. We're going to take that away and we're going to erase it from all of history and humanity. What is that? What is that? What is that desire to do that? Being a mother is one of the greatest sacrifices, one of the greatest experiences of a woman's lifetime. And organically, women have babies because that's by design what their bodies and their incarnation has given them the opportunity and the pleasure and the delight to do. So to say there's no such thing as a mother because men can have babies too, I want to tap into that for a minute. I am sure through genetic engineering that men can be made to do anything in the same way we have made robots, robotic everything. We have made clones. And if you don't think that the cloning program is only at the level of dogs and cats, you don't know what's going on. Science is very advanced, very advanced. And the human race is being remade biologically, chemically, and has been for a long time to disrupt the vital energy, the maleness and the femaleness that makes us who we are, and to disrupt our biology, whether it's chemicals in the water, chemicals and nanoparticles being dropped from the air in geoengineering, glyphosate in the food supply, disrupting the human digestive system and the immune system, or through other implements that are being done in the pharmaceutical space to and about humans. So there is this attack. There is this warfare against being human in a male and or female structure. It is looking like there is an agenda to disassociate us so totally from that experience. And not just to disassociate us from our own biology, our biology wants and needs, but to reprogram our understanding of togetherness so that it's mostly virtual and that it's not physical and it's not biological. And this makes me very sad as a human being, very sad as a human being. To the religious people of every religion, I know and I understand where you're at. I get it. For you, this is frightening and terrible. and I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. This is frightening, okay, and terrible, what's going on. But there is a space, and there should be a space, to receive people who identify differently in the same way they identify this color differently. They should be received. That doesn't mean they have to be liked. That doesn't mean they have to be wanted. But to receive them and their struggle and their unhappiness, okay, and their push to want to be structured in society. And they should be structured in society, but not the way and manner in which it's happening. For example, when J.K. Rowling, I don't remember all what she tweeted. I think it was a few years ago. She said that women are women. And that, I don't want to repeat what I think she said, but whatever she said about that, okay, she got doxxed at her house. People were giving out where she lives. I mean, that's how frenetic, chaotic, and violent the response is. It can't be. It will never, the trans population will never be received in society, even if there's a political agenda to do that, to force it, because nothing forced is really received. That's not reception, and receptivity is not by force. They're two different gestalts completely. So I say to the trans community, who has, in a sense, imposed, really imposed your experience and your views into and on top of males and females' experience, almost to like disrupt it at a molecular level, like it doesn't exist. It exists. It's ancient. It's very ancient. And it's worldwide. And I want to invite you to just consider that there's another way. There's another way, and that is to honor the fact that you are your own tribe. You're your own culture. You're not even of the culture of gays, lesbians, that. You're not even that. I don't even know what the whole LGBTQ whatever is about, because this is its own tribe. You know? So I want you to consider that. Maybe you should name your own tribe. You know, you deserve your own name and not to be wedged in with gay and lesbian and this and that. I mean, I don't even know how that happened. Somebody planned that one. Because that's a whole other thing. We'll have a discussion one day, hopefully soon, about gay, lesbian, and bisexual and heterosexuals, because that needs its own conversation. With respect to gender, though, come on. If I say, if a rabbit says to a dog, you know, I really feel like I'm a dog. And the dog says, really? And the rabbit says, yeah, I really do. And the dog looks at the rabbit and says, oh, wow. I mean, and the rabbit says, then I am a dog. I'm a dog, and I want you to treat me like a dog, and I want to be able to stay in the pound like a dog, and I want to be able to do what dogs do, and I'm the same biology as you, because I feel that way. Ladies and gentlemen, come on. Come on. What are we talking about here? The feelings are valid. It's when the feelings cross the threshold from I feel to I am. I feel like you, therefore I am. You have to treat me like I am you. Well, I'm an executive for the Rainmaking Company, and I produce and host It's Rainmaking Time. And I want you to treat me like I'm president of the United States. Because I feel like I'm president of the United States. I want you to treat me. I'm the president of the United States. No election. No, nothing. I feel like it. Therefore, you have to treat me like I am. Where is my detail? Where is my security detail? You know, Barbara Streisand is a very complex lady. Very complex. I don't know her. I met her once on the tennis court when she was dating Ryan O'Neill, long time ago, at Sammy Match's house. Then I met her with Pancho Segura down in La Costa. And I guess she started this, or she funded or helped fund, I don't know if it's a nonprofit or not, but it's to help women identify when they're having heart attacks. Because apparently the way men experience getting a heart attack physically is totally different, totally different. And a lot of women die because their symptoms and how it shows up is totally different in a woman's biology. And interestingly enough, the hormones are so different. The body's intelligent. You know, we can flood the body with synthetics, but the body is extremely intelligent, knows what's going on. If you over flood the body with synthetic hormones to make one instead of, let's say, female for me, into more male, you can easily establish conditions for cancer. Easily. I mean, you can be on a little bit of hormone cream, testosterone, DHEA, estriol, progesterone. And unless you're doing, and they're bioidentical, and you're really doing urine, you know, 24-hour urine tests, you know, every 6 months to a year, you start increasing in any kind of even small ways without monitoring, you can easily get cancer. Easily. And I want you to consider that maybe it's not a great idea for young people to be asked if they feel very masculine or very feminine, or they have feelings a certain way or influences going on through them a certain way. Maybe it's not appropriate to ask your young child or to have a teacher or a sports coach ask the child or suggest that they change their sex. I remember going to grammar school, and on the playground, there were a lot of very masculine women. Very. I was a tournament tennis player. I was pretty masculine, too. And, you know, a lot of them are married with children now. And it would be terrible if they were asked to change their sex because they were tomboys. I mean, that used to be an okay thing. So what? You know, or if a young boy was more feminine, maybe he was more creative and, you know, less into science and less into math and less into sports. You know, it doesn't mean he should become a girl. And to completely disrupt and to kill off masculinity and femininity in terms of an energy, the Shakti, the chi, how the chi expresses itself in a young being, and just say, if they're struggling with anything, well, they should change their sex. It should never be an option. Never. Because young people don't individuate, don't come into a full expressed sense of self until at least their 20s. So what are we doing? We're gonna change their sex? They're not even old enough to handle what's going on in their individual lives. They're not developed enough mentally, spiritually, emotionally. They don't have the emotional intelligence to process things. So it makes me very sad that this is going on. I'm concerned that this is going on. And nobody should be talking to your children, our children, in school about their sexual preferences, teaching them about gay and straight and this and that. That is the role for the parents, not the schools. It's none of their business. So it's obvious that the schools are programming these young people. And I'd be very concerned how they're being programmed. And listen, I've led a bisexual life. I love being with women, by the way. And I've been with a lot of men in my life. What I'm saying to you, I'm speaking honestly, and I'm saying to you, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about this. It's improper for any other adults, unless they're called in by the parents, to help facilitate a discussion with children or young people, not the schools. So I want to bring that up. You know, I mean, it just pollutes a young, unevolved mind that hasn't had time on earth. And it also usurps the role of parents, which is not okay. It's not, it's very insidious what's going on. Very insidious. So that's something I'm very concerned about. How young people are being programmed to think, okay, about sexuality, about what's normal, about maybe changing their gender. Trust me on this. We all came into our bodies as boys or girls and have become men or women organically through time. Because on a soul level, we agreed to. We agreed. Okay? And you're not going to tell me, okay, that this is by accident. It's not by accident. I've been around too long. So what I want to say to you is, oh, I want to bring up an example. Because my tournament tennis background, I read and I heard John McEnroe talk about make his remarks. I can't remember what show he was on about, you know, I can't remember how the question was asked, but go with me on this. Stay with me on this. Basically, he was asked what he thought, you know, Serena Williams would be ranked if she were on the men's, you know, circuit. I think he said 500. I can't remember. So forgive me if I'm wrong about it. But whatever it was, it caused a big brouhaha. Big. And he got in trouble and they kept asking for his apology and like, oh my God, I just want to deal with this for 1 minute. So John McEnroe, if you're around, look, you should have been able to say what you said. And yes, it was agitating. Okay. It was agitating for women to hear it, but there was a real truth in there. There was a real truth, even though Serena's built like a tank. Okay. Strong as an ox. The male body's different. I'm sorry. It just is. And that's the way it's designed. It's designed to be stronger, more muscular, etc. So, yeah, I mean, was what, John, what you said, very aggravating and agitating? Yes. Was it wrong? No. Was it bad? No. Just agitating. We get it. You're basically saying men are better than women. Okay. In some things you are. And in some things we are. Women are masters of seduction, absolute masters, so much so that most men don't even know when it's happening. So, I mean, you know, we're different at different things. I don't think that doesn't matter. It does. I want to say a little something about Anne Heche. You know, I didn't know much about Anne Heche. I just want to bring it up as part of this because she apparently, and I didn't really know this, so I feel bad I didn't know this, and I should have known it, but I didn't. So first, I want to apologize to Anne Heche because I didn't know that while you were live, really what you did in terms of the gay and lesbian community and what you fought for. I didn't get it. I didn't know it. But I'm glad I know it now, and I get it now, and you're in the afterlife. So here's one for you, a thank you. And thank you for your sacrifice and your struggle and how you took a stand and how you had to internalize the shame of your position. Also being with a public figure, the complexity of that And I want to say to you a special thank you for a distinction you made that I heard a few weeks ago and sent to my dear friend Mary. When it comes to gays and lesbians, and we'll talk about this in another commentary because it needs its own commentary, and so does the bisexual space. When it comes to gays and lesbians, there is this thing, kind of a belief that, you know, if you're that way, and you're with somebody who has never been there before, that the one who's been there before is influencing somebody who hasn't been there before, who's really not that way. There's like this, how do you say, like an undercurrent of belief about that. It's pretty solid, I would say, in the people I've talked to in the community most of my life, even though I'm not involved with the community, but as I've interfaced with the community. And there's this thing that she said, which was, I want to be free to love who I love. I should be free to love who I love. And it doesn't matter what their sex is. And it turns out that that was apparently a major bone of contention between her and Ellen, because Ellen wanted her to identify as being gay and didn't feel comfortable with her in that particular area. Whatever it is, Ellen has her right to feel how she felt and whatever they had to do together. But what I appreciate is that Anne Heche made a critical, a very important distinction of wanting to be free to love who she loves. And she was madly in love with Ellen DeGeneres. And their separation more had to do with the interior of their relationship and the lack of compatibility on the interior level of what they were each looking for. And that's fine. I mean, it happens all over the world. But I wanted to say that's a really beautiful thing, to be free to love who you love, express that romantic feeling, express the intimacy, and be in love with whoever you're in love with. I really appreciate that to Anne Heche in heaven. Thank you so much. That was a major distinction, you know, because it is about love. And no souls come together unless they have history, in my view. They have some history from other times and places. They've loved before, been around the block before. Either they have unfinished business or they're going at it again, or they're going to do something different this time. Love is love. Love really is love. And togetherness is togetherness. I guess the big struggle right now is, how are we going to all have togetherness if we are not allowed to say how we feel and what we think, and to ponder those things? We have to really open the space for receptivity. We have to open the space for togetherness, even if we vehemently disagree with each other. Like, it's fine. If you disagree with me or you don't like me because of this or that, that's fine. We can still have elegant and beautiful and robust, deep discourse about it. So in my book, men are men, women are women, boys are boys, girls are girls. And there are those beings that want to shift that and come take their body that they came into their life with and shift it and make a different part of their body and live in a different way than they lived before. And many of the people that do that, the beings that do that, struggle still for the rest of their life. And society won't necessarily receive them, because those beings are from a different frequency. In the same way, they see white in this rock, and the rest of us see green, light green, and forest green. And so there's a place for this tribe. It's just being inserted improperly. in society, and it's being pushed and forced on men and women who do identify with their bodies and their social mores and their customs and the way they navigate in that body and show up in the world. So I want to invite you all to think about this, talk about it with your friends, and know I love you and care about you, and I care about this matter that's going on, and I think that you need to call in your power and authority to not allow other people to program your children because they think they have a right to because they are in school and away from you. And I think we need to open up the space for more receptivity and receive different kind of people, different kind of tribes. I know I'm a member of a tribe. I don't know what you call it. It's rainmaking to me. It's rainmaking to me. Anyway, it's rainmaking time. God bless. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see why there should be argument or anything either, but they have programmed it and deciphered it just so it turns out to the way it is right now. Not happy and free. Nope. Let's see. And I sure as heck don't want cyborgism going on. This was rather interesting to hear about.
Notice anything funny about that solution? It's glowing. Hi, everybody. My name is Melissa McAtee, also known as Melissa Strickler, the Pfizer whistleblower from Project Veritas. I wanted to make a short TikTok explaining something that I feel like isn't being made very clear in my interviews. I worked at Pfizer for almost 10 years, 5 years as a quality auditor. Here is my work badge. Here is the backside to show that it is Pfizer property and my CDA sticker, which proves that I can deal with controlled drugs. Here is a product that has the same exact lid color, vial size, and is liquid. It is on the exact same light test table that I always light tested at as a quality auditor. Normal looking solution. Almost all product looks like this. And here is the hokey pokey that they are mandating to people. Notice anything funny about that solution? It's glowing.
It's cool.
Here is another product, same size vial, different color lid, same table to show you that it does not impact the color or the glowing, because there isn't any. This is what they were advertising the vaccine looked like. Obviously now they have real pictures out there, but this was what they were advertising it looked like when I took this photo. Little fun fact, here was our shoelaces at work. If you know, ignore the reflection of my glove here, you can see that this solution is almost totally clear with a very slight tint of yellow on the white side. Here's another one. And here's a really clear image to show you how clear it is. But oop, it goes over to the black side. Same table, same light, same surrounding, same vial. And it changes when it goes in front of the black background. It's glowing. Another product, same table, same light. Look how clear it is. Looks like water. Here's another product on the black side to show that it remains clear. And here it is on the white to show that it stays the same. I was taking a picture of some particulate matter there. You can see it. Here is how normal 3-milliliter vials have their labels placed. See the spaces? It's centered on the vial and has quite a bit of space in case we need to light test it after it's been labeled. But here's how low they were placing the labels on this particular hokey pokey so that you can't see the solution. Another fun fact that a lot of people don't know is that Pfizer manufactures Remdesivir. Here is a zoomed in picture to show the name Remdesivir in the code. Remdesivir also looked kind of funny. It kind of glittered and sparkled when it was reconstituted because it was in a lyophilized cake. Here is a lyophilized cake, or what we called a lyo product. And here is a picture of the containers that the product was shipped out in. Do your own homework on it.
This is where I got the shot, the second shot. Look at this. It's glowing. Now I go down my arm and it gets worse. I have a little dot here, but the worst part, look at the vein in my hand. It glows. That is sick.
Now he's using a black.
Why is this doing this? Can someone tell me? Look at that. Look at that. It's glowing. And that's exactly where I got the shot.
Check this out, guys. I'm Leanne from Red Pill Crew. I've had my vaccine. Today. Where's the shine the light on me? Oh, I can't do it at the same time. Shine it there. Nearer to that dot. Oh, geez, look at that. I've had my vaccine, Rosie. What do you think? What's happening? Come on, shine it on my hand. Oh, my God. What have they put in that vaccine?
The vaccine glows. At least Pfizer's does. And the only components that I know that can do that are SM-102, which is called luciferase, and graphene oxide. And they claim both of those aren't in there.
Wow. So when you say it glows, tell us what you mean when you say it glows.
Well, it looks like someone took a blue glow stick, cracked it open, and poured it in the vial. But it only glows if there's light and if it's around a dark surrounding, like a dark background or a dark table. I have pictures of those.
Explain this luciferase, because, of course, we're talking about Lucifer here.
Well, what it is it's a glowing chemical. It's found in lightning bugs, plants, and fish. It's a kind of an organic matter, and it glows. And depending on the certain type of chemical compound it is, it'll either glow a green, like a lightning bug, or it can glow blue. In this case, the vaccine is blue when it glows. But when it's in front of like a white background, it's clear. It's very odd, considering I've looked at hundreds of thousands of units and never once have seen anything do that, or not even close. Usually it looks like water. And then I watched a doctor say that they use codes in their stuff, you know, and I took notes of those codes and I found out SM-102 is luciferase. And when I messaged them, my company, I emailed them and I said, hey, is luciferase in the vaccine? And they responded with, the vaccine is, or the luciferase is in the testing of the vaccine, but won't be included in the final vaccine. But the way I see this is this whole thing is experimental. We haven't even seen the camaraderie. I don't even know how to say it. We have not even seen those labels getting put on the vials in that plant yet. So as far as I know, everyone is still receiving that emergency use authorization, and it's experimental. It is a test. It is a massive test on the world. And I believe it's a way for them to know who's vaccinated, because their blood will glow.
Right.
Just driving south on the 405 from Long Beach. I'm over here in Seal Beach by the power plant, and I noticed these. It's the black lights. New lamp posts that they've been putting in. And I've been seeing a lot of people talking on TikTok about these, saying that if you have the COVID vaccine, you're supposed to glow underneath it. And that they're going to be used to figure out who is vaccinated and who isn't. I don't know. It's definitely something new. I've never seen this before. As far as visibility goes, I can't understand why they would switch from the regular street lamps to this. I mean, you're losing about 80% of your light, so... seems weird to me. I don't know about y'all. And it's a big open parking lot where this is at. They can easily set up a nice little camp here.
Wow. Well, the blue light, or the black light, just crazy. I mean, this just crazy. Where'd that go? Huh.
Hey everybody, some really concerning new analysis just dropped from usmortality.com. who goes by U.S. Mortality on Twitter. They track very closely the mortality figures in the United States and in Germany. Today we focus on Germany. Let's start with Hamburg. Look at this excess death chart. So this is cumulative since 2013. And what we see is it's downward trending at first, but then right around March 2020, this huge inflection point, and now we're skyrocketing upwards. This is very scary. This is almost a straight line of death. This cumulative total is skyrocketing at almost a constant pace, breakneck pace upwards. Tons and tons of unexpected deaths. We're seeing very high excess death figures in many European countries, and we're also, of course, seeing it in Australia and in the United States. This chart really tells the story, and it's a frightening picture. This is on de.usmortality.com. Cumulative excess deaths in Germany by year. These are all cause of deaths. What we see first is 2021 jumps out like a sore thumb. It's the red line here, the previous record. But now we're seeing 2022 on track to surpass this horrible excess death year, 2021. So look over on the left here. These are excess deaths on the y-axis. And you can see 2021 ended up with 76,826 excess deaths. 2022, so far in October, is at around 59,000. Whereas 2021, when we look at the same week, week 41, it was at 37,000. So 22,000 additional deaths in the first 9 months. And it seems like some cities, such as Hamburg, are getting hit even harder, which might indicate that the urban areas are being targeted. So just an awful 2021 with excess deaths piling up and a horrendous 2022 that's already outpacing this horrible excess death year, 2021. So these aren't just deaths. These are in surplus of what they expected. These are unexpected deaths. Ben from USMortality.com writes, Germany on track for the worst year of excess mortality ever. So let's look at this one. This is really interesting from yesterday. Ben writes, excess deaths in Germany before the shots between 11th week of 2020 and the end of 2020, there were 36,801 excess deaths. And that comes out to 876 per...
junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. FreedomSlips.com. Number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom, at a time when freedom is needed the most.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on public means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in Defense Condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We'll never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic marsal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-voloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And they're just perpetuating it, letting it keep on going, going, going. Death means nothing to anybody anymore. Shouldn't have fear of it, but it should mean something. Should mean how you're living your life.
A week after the shots, starting at the beginning of 2021, through the 40th week of 2022, there were 131,372 deaths in excess, so unexpected deaths, which comes out to 1,413 per week. So an additional 540 per week excess deaths after the shots became available and taken up. And look at this chart. This is extremely telling. So this is excess deaths starting at 2011. And it's a similar picture to the city of Hamburg. But the difference between Hamburg and the rest of Germany is when the inflection point happened and the rapid change in rate. For all of Germany, it doesn't happen until almost the end of 2020. But in Hamburg, it really corresponds, it seems, with when the WHO declared the pandemic, March of 2020. But really, it's at the same point, the end of 2020, when all hell breaks loose, and it just takes off like a rocket. But going back to this excess death chart for all of Germany, starting in 2011, we really see it take off here, at the end of 2020, right with the vaccine rollout. And now it has this new, terrifying trajectory, upwards and upwards, off the chart. Now, how long is this excess death going to continue? Do we even know that it's going to slow down? And couldn't it also speed up? That's what I worry about the most. I think it's going to speed up. So here's another piece of analysis from U.S. Mortality. This came out today. Weekly German all-cause mortality update. Week 41 comes in plus 3,410 excess deaths, which is plus 23.1%. Ben writes, something is clearly not right in Germany. Here's a chart of Germany excess mortality by week, starting right before 2018. The blue line is the actual observed excess mortality as a percentage. So our baseline is 0%. Since we're looking at excess mortality on the y-axis, the green shaded region is the normal range. And ever since 2020, we've seen some huge spikes, well above this red line, which is the substantial increase. But in recent months of 2022, we're seeing this concerning chart shape, where it seems to have left the normal range, far in excess of even the substantial increase. And most concerningly, it's still going upwards at the end of the chart. Here's another post by Ben at US Mortality. Excess mortality in Germany is skyrocketing since the end of 2020, which coincides with the start of the vaccination campaign. So US Mortality posted this 10 days ago, but it seems like what we just looked at was an update to this. So on October 15th, 2022, US Mortality writes, excess mortality in Germany is skyrocketing since the end of 2020, which coincides with the start of the vaccination campaign. So this post came out 9 days ago, but it gives us a different perspective. US Mortality writes, excess mortality in Germany this year is plus 6.7%. This is much higher than during the year 2020, where the new virus emerged. Yearly excess mortality in Germany, you can see in 2018 it was 3.2%. 2019 it was minus 0.8%. And it starts climbing from there. 2020, 1.8%. In 2021, it really goes high to 5.4%. But in 2022, it's slated to go even higher to 6.7%. So I want to show people again what's happening in the United States. Similar situation. The baseline deaths were mostly in line with the expected. But then everything changed right around where the WHO declared the pandemic. And deaths started to skyrocket. I mean, this is just a horrifying picture. Australia is another really terrifying example where we saw this huge surge, plus 57%. So in 2021, the levels of death were extremely elevated, plus 20% over the 2015 to 2019 average. But you can see here this trend line increasing. So the excess mortality as a percentage increase over the 2015 to 2019 average is increasing, especially because of this huge mound of death in February 2022. So I'll leave the link to the website, de.usmortality.com. That's the Germany version of the website. DE stands for Deutschland. And I'll also leave a link to US Mortality on Twitter. So thanks everybody for watching. Let me know what you think in the comments. My heart goes out to everybody affected by this massive number of deaths. It's absolutely tragic and heartbreaking. And I'm going to continue fighting for justice and trying to encourage others to do the same.
We're joined now by Dr. David Nixon from Australia. Dr. Nixon called me today and said, there is something that you need to see. I've never seen anything like it. He's been studying the Pfizer vials under the microscope, and he's witnessing the most astounding nanotechnology that's forming under this. He's also seen that once it's exposed to regular temperatures, how it's forming. He's also witnessed how it stops forming inside a Faraday cage. And Dr. Nixon joins us now to talk about his findings. Dr. Nixon, thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Mary.
I've just seen this recording right before you and I started recording this interview. This is absolutely astounding. I've not seen anything like it before. What, and you're saying this is, how many hours of footage is this before you're able to play us this short clip?
3 hours. It's 3 hours long, and I'll speed it up so that it lasts about a minute.
Okay, I want to just get straight into it and play the footage for everyone, and let's talk about what's actually going on here. Can we do that?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a Pfizer vial, right?
Correct. This is approximately 4 drops of Pfizer vaccine on a glass slide that I've been looking at. Originally, I put the first drops on in about August, but I put a first drop on it last night. And this is one of the crystal squares in the middle that we've focused attention on in the past.
Yes.
And this is currently playing in real time. And as you can see, nothing appears to be moving at all. But these fragments here, these are the bits and flotsam and jetsam that we see when we're looking at the liquid vaccine down the microscope. And we've been assured by other people that these are of no concern. But look what happens when I speed this up, just I'm moving the cursor. It's apparent that we're dealing with something completely different from self-assembly. This is nano-construction. I don't even begin to understand how far ahead of where we thought our technology was.
I'm absolutely astounded at this. So when you say it's beyond nanotechnology, is this intelligently assembling itself?
Absolutely, but it's not assembling itself. That's the whole point. It's actually been assembled. Essentially, I guess it's micro-construction because this is 200 times magnification.
When you say it's assembling itself, are you saying that someone is controlling the assembly through frequencies, or the frequencies are causing it to assemble itself?
All right. With reference to the square is not assembling itself. The square, the structure, is being assembled. It's being put together by essentially micro-machinery, which is coordinated. And if you focus in this corner here, on the top left there,
yes,
we can see that nanobot or microbot pulling the edge of the square out. You can't see anything in real time. Nothing seems to be happening. It's only when you speed it up. I mean, I can't even begin to think of technology that works at those sort of speeds. So it seems to be out of sync with time, as well as being very, very small.
Can you play that? Just play that for us again, where you're saying it appears like it's pulling out. So it almost looks like it's gone in, pulled the square out, then joined with the other structures like it in the top there. I mean,
it's grabbed this edge of the square and it's pulling it that way. And at the same time, down the bottom here, if you look down here, there's another bit of nanobot coming in from the bottom, and it's actually bracing this edge of the square as this one up here pulls it out. So not only is this happening really slowly, but it's also happening in a coordinated fashion. All I can think of is Arthur C. Clarke's quotation of any sufficiently advanced technology appears to be magic. I mean, this just looks like magic. I mean, if I wasn't sitting here looking at this and recording it and seeing the things that I've seen last week, I wouldn't believe it either. I would think this is fake. But, this is real. This has happened. It's 200 times under my microscope.
Now, you said to me before that you've added additional drops to drops that were already out there. So does that mean that this is something that people could expect that inside of them would happen over time as well, as they keep going back for more boosters? Is that one potential thing that's occurring?
I don't have any answers for that question. Clearly, this is far more concentrated than what's going to happen in the human body. But, the chances of this type of technology causing blood clots, we need to stop all vaccinations right now until we understand what's going on here.
I absolutely agree with you. This is terrifying. This is something that, I mean, people certainly weren't informed of this. And apart from the
unbelievable, undeniable damage. I am posting articles, Dr. Nixon, every day in my Telegram of people dropping unexpectedly. A radio host in the UK just dropped dead on air. In the middle of presenting on air, he dropped dead in his seat. I mean, these people are dying in droves, and we can't deny that it's from the vaccines anymore. They're not even vaccines, but apart from all of that, what on earth have these psychopaths done? What have they put inside of people? This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do we have any indication as to what this could be, apart from what people have already suggested, that this is, these are, it's obviously some sort of technology. Karen Kingston says that it's enabled. This is able to occur because they've packaged it inside the lipid nanoparticles as a delivery system. So it is possible for this to be inside of people. I know what you're saying about people doubting that it's real. And the fact that you've recorded this yourself, which, you know, that's why you know it's real. But have we got any indication as to how this is happening and how do we stop it, Dr. Nixon?
Certainly there are a number of lots of people that are looking at what can be done in terms of detoxification. But this process seems to be driven by electromagnetic frequency.
Did you have it near a router or something, or was it just the regular frequency?
A big router through the wall, and I've been working with the door open, and when I had the door closed, what I saw was things deconstructing. Matt Taylor has clearly shown these things expanding under the influence of EMF and contracting when EMF is removed.
I want to ask you, Dr. Nixon, because it looks like little robot arms, even.
Oh, this is, you look at the way the levers are working in this bit. You know, you've got triangles, you've got levers, you've got pinches. This even appears to have some sort of serrated edge on it. I mean, it's just, let me just play that. Even that first bit folds up on itself, goes up to get the leverage. Runs
my
out of
God.
Steam, so then it creates some sort of propulsion system. I mean, get a look at the rotation on that. Look how stirred up the liquid is.
It's incredibly advanced. Whatever it is incredibly advanced. I'm even looking at the bottom of your screen there, Dr. Nixon, the bottom left-hand corner of this. If you go back a little bit more, even that, it looks like a little arm, you know. That's
this bit.
This
is definitely another one of these things, but it's been constructed from slightly different materials, so it looks a bit different. But it's going into this gap, and it's so as this one pulls this edge out, this machine is going in and stopping this edge from coming down. Just watch that carefully. I mean, I couldn't believe that when I saw it. You can see how it's filling the gap. So it's producing the gap, that size gap that they want there.
I have goosebumps watching this.
Yeah. I mean, I've looked at some weird stuff in the last 10 days, but this is a whole nother level.
This looks calculated. It looks calculated.
It's definitely calculated. You've got multiple controls. And it's happening at this speed, that this is the real time speed. So you know, when I'm moving it, that's at least a couple of hundred times faster than normal time. So even if we could produce something that could do this, how can we produce something that's coordinated, that's going that slowly? I mean, it's staggering.
I can't believe what I'm seeing. I mean, I've seen the nanotech forming under a microscope. I've seen these structures growing. I've never seen little arms, you know. To think that this could be inside of people, to think that they've got little robotic arms setting limits and spaces and barriers. And I mean, what's the purpose? That bottom arm that we saw at the bottom left-hand corner, what is the purpose of that little arm making that space? What is that space for? How does it know to do that?
Wow, exactly. So it's this, all the stars is great. Far too many questions.
Well, they're questions that we have to ask. They're questions
And we've got to stop all vaccinations until we understand what's beyond this.
This is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this. This is the first time in the world that I'm seeing this, Dr. Nixon. I've seen a lot.
I haven't seen anything like this ever. So I've seen these crystals grow in the past. I've come back and they've obviously been bigger. And the assumption has been that they're growing through a crystalline process. But this would suggest it's not a simple crystal process. They're not salt. They're not cholesterol.
Tell me, since when has salt ever grown arms?
Exactly. Even if you were to do this or try and do this in real time, you know, in the sort of precise construction that we know about.
Dr. Nixon, can you humour me for a minute?
Sure.
Have you watched salt under a microscope and have you ever seen it do this?
No. No. I have dried out saline. I've made salt crystals. I've looked up all the cholesterol crystals in the blood and the urine, uric acid crystals. But nothing comes close to what we're seeing here.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Nanotech growing robotic arms. I mean.
Yeah, so this is, micro construction.
Are we saying that this has been programmed? I mean, I get it, but I just want to really hammer this point home. This technology has been programmed to grow, not only grow these structures inside of people, but in such a calculated fashion, and it's actually forming things inside of people, robotic arms that are setting boundaries, that are pulling this nanotech to the limits that they want to pull it to, and they know where to stop. They know exactly what to do. They know how big they want this nanotechnology to be. Is this what this is suggesting?
Absolutely. And it's intelligent design and intelligent construction at a micro scale, at 400 times slower than normal speed.
Do we have any indication as to why it would need to happen so slowly?
I'm not in a hurry, I guess.
Well, I just wonder. I wonder if there's a reason why it has to form slowly. Is it maybe because if it happened too quickly, the human body would instantly respond to it? I'm just thinking.
That's good thoughts. But the ability to make it happen at this speed, It's just crazy.
Because it's also been programmed to happen slowly in order for, because if this happened, and from what I understand, this stuff is small enough to cross our blood-brain barrier. So if this happened instantly, there would be too many bodies potentially that wouldn't be able to handle it and would be dropping even faster. And they couldn't allow for that. It had to happen slowly. And this is why the sudden deaths are happening 5 months on from the injections. This is the exact reason. It doesn't happen instantly. And if all these people got injected and they dropped dead straight away, it would be too obvious. It would be too obvious for everyone. It's easier to blame it on climate change and not the fact that people have robotic arms pulling nanotech into certain shapes inside of them. I mean, this is absolutely horrendous. This is crime against humanity. This is a crime against the children of the world. This is unbelievable. And we need answers. Someone needs to answer this. It's beyond the adverse events at this point.
I'm not sure what else to add to that, Maria. I'll only just say that as well as stopping all vaccinations right now, we need to stop all 4G, 5G emitters and wireless. We need to stop the things we know that are causing these crystals to grow. And that's definitely EMF.
Well, I've just interviewed Karen Kingston this week. That's coming out on Uncensored. On this very topic, Dr. Nixon, and she has said the exact same thing. The only way to stop this is to immediately cease 5G, immediately, to stop the advance into this technology that they want to bring the Internet of Bodies about and all of this. I mean, how else do you think they're going to connect your body with the Internet of Bodies other than if you have this inside of you? It makes perfect sense to me.
Excuse me, I've got the heater on because when I put the heater on, aircon not on before the construction slowed, so I decided I'd leave the heater on.
Sure, that's fine.
So if I keep drinking water, you'll know why. But
not
yeah, we've got to stop the vaccinations and we've got to stop the 5G and the 4G as well.
All right, I'm just going to put a call out right now. Obviously, Dr. Nixon, you've been doing this for a little while now. You've been looking at this stuff under the microscope. First and foremost, I'm going to be praying for your safety so that you can keep getting the truth out there. Secondly, if there's anyone out there that can answer these questions, if you're a whistleblower, and I'm asking for not just theories, but someone who actually understands the science behind this, can understand how this is forming in this way, in such an advanced way, please contact me through zmedia.com. That's zeemedia.com with three E's. Go to the contact section, share a story or whistleblower. You can use either of those forms and let us know what is happening here. What are these robotic arms? And we need to get to the bottom of this and we need to stop it straight away. Dr. Nixon, do we keep going through this footage? Or do we just end it there on this call out for someone to give us the answers?
I think we end it there and we get together again sometime soon and I'll show you what has happened in the interim.
I think so too. Dr. Nixon, thank you so much for your bravery.
Welcome.
Thank you for coming to me with this. We're going to get this out there for the whole world to see and somebody needs to give us answers. Thank you again, Dr. Nixon.
Well, good night.
Good night. Z Media is the leader in independent media in Australia. Head to zmedia.com and the interviews page for all of my latest interviews with experts from across the world, contributions on the Stu Peters Show and weekly Zero Time broadcast. You'll also find another videos page on there where you can stay informed about what's happening around the world. In the merch section, men's tees, women's tees, long sleeve tees, unisex hoodies and kids merch, you can support us on the support page. And also head to our...
Yeah. But we like our support page, don't we? That's right. Yes. We like cash. Or fiat dollar, whatever the heck it is. You want to consider it is. This just came up in some kind of video I was listening to with Dutch Sense, and it just seemed crazy to me, so... I thought I'd play it for y'all.
This is Dabu 7. And it looks like the experiments have been fired back up at HAARP. Because as of right now, they are conducting the largest set of experiments that they've ever conducted at this new observatory at the HAARP location that we're all so familiar with. Now, the University of Alaska Fairbanks operates this facility near Gakona, and you have a slew of different groups that are tied into this, from NASA, from JPL, the Navy, University of California, Berkeley, many different groups tied in to these 13 experiments that are going to be carried out over a 10-day period, which started last Wednesday. And they are saying that they have bounced a signal off the moon. They're also trying to learn more about this mysterious polar light that we've talked about in other live streams and videos. And they're also sending a beam to Jupiter. So a big array of experiments here. They're saying that this is the highest so far under this five-year, $9.3 million grant awarded by the National Science Foundation to establish a sub-aurora geophysical observatory at HARP. So it's all going down at HARP, at their main location. They've added to it, and they've got a slew of new experiments they're popping off. So they're hoping that they get a reflective bounce both off the moon and Jupiter in these tests, where that bounce comes back and they can pick it up on their arrays at different locations, specifically the one that they've got set up down in New Mexico, where they've got a ton of these different instruments set up to try to detect anything coming in. 512 antennas. So Jupiter is about 372 million miles from Earth, so they say. This is going to be very interesting to see a beam go all the way out there, bounce off that planet, and come, you know, straight back to here. Nonetheless, the moon is a closer object right there, although it's all shrouded in controversy these days because we're lied to so much. Nonetheless, I wanted to let you know, this is what they're doing with HARP. They're shooting shots at Jupiter, at the moon, and who knows what else, really. I'm going to break this down further on the next live stream. Make sure to join me over on Dabu 777. Right there's a shot at the HARP facility up close. I'm going live 9 p.m. Eastern, Monday and Fridays, breaking stories like this down into greater detail, censorship-free. Hope to see you guys there. Much love. Eyes to the skies.
Eyes to the skies. Yeah, that's just what they need to do now, right? Yeah, add more crap to the situation. Nope, you're not going to hear that. Nope. So what else? Let's see. We already saw that one. Okay, so that one's not going to work. All right. Yeah, Luciferase. What, you just can't get there, can you? No, it's just taking its sweet old time. I tell ya. I don't have that kind of time. Oh, heaven. Just, doesn't want to work for me. Nope, I have no idea why it doesn't want to work for me. Isn't that strange? Why, because I already had them? What? No, that's not it. Some things I just don't want to have to deal with. Why is that not taking? Now, how many minutes is this? Too many. Nope, I would like to do that tomorrow, though, on my show. Okay, let's see what else I can come up with. Just take it sweet old time. I think you're too long, too, aren't you? Yep, because you're a crow house. Whale. Just need a 22-minute one. Let's see. I don't want to do reptiles. I did reptiles before. No reptiles. Nope, I've had enough about reptiles. Let's see. Yeah, they are. Give me the pictures. Let's see. How many minutes are you? Nope, you're an hour. You ain't gonna happen here. Huh. Shoot. What to do, what to do? Oh, yes, what to do? Just keep on plugging, plugging, plugging. Oh, you're on for too long, too. Yes, what happened to the short ones? I had them earlier. Some short ones. Nope. Well, goodness. Let's see if there's a short one here. Yeah. Oh, well. Not that I'm into it, but what the hey. It's about the same amount of minutes, so.
Kanye West, is he actually right about some of the things that he's saying once we move past all of the hurt and historic anger that pulls up memories of the Holocaust? We want to take a look at the things he's actually saying, and does he even have a point here moving past the emotional anger? And I think this is something that Kanye West actually suggested we do as well. We kind of forget about history and take a look just at the engineering, the logical, rational side of all of this. Because for all of the emotional outrage that he causes when he says the words like the Jewish media, I mean, the media is kind of controlled by a lot of Jewish people out here. We can actually see here who controls your mind. This was a chart back in 2013. All of these red is Jewish people, right? So they own like Universal Studios, ABC News, CBS, CNN, Columbia Pictures, DreamWorks, Facebook, Google, also run by Jewish people, Yahoo, Marvel, Pixar, The New York Post, LucasArts, MSNBC, DreamWorks, Comcast, The New York Times, Comedy Central, Wall Street Journal. I mean, admittedly, a lot of these large media organizations and tech companies that are able to shape global narratives are run by Jewish people. So does Kanye West have a point here? And to me, it's kind of like saying there's a lot of white male power in executive management positions in corporate companies, and nobody gets mad about that. But when Kanye West says there's a lot of people of Jewish religion in these media companies and tech companies, then everybody gets upset all of a sudden. And I think you have to remember that someone like Kanye West, who got to the level of success that he's at on the global scale, does not live in the same kind of politically correct, naive, bubble-wrapped world that we live in, but he's in this cold, hard, realist world, and he must see things and call things out for as they are. And so it's not entirely surprising to me that someone of his street smarts and instincts has also noticed that a large number of these media and tech organizations do seem to be run by people of the same religious faith. And what does that really mean? Maybe he's just kind of calling that out and saying, what is this? Is there potentially chance for, say, collusion in this space? So I wanted to give you my perspective on this as just a normal, uneducated tech bro on this with a passing interest in Jewish religion. And it is typically that I feel I can't trust any religious person, basically, because they have an ulterior motive. So people will act in totally bizarre, unpredictable ways to me because they have some random doctrine that they've been brainwashed into thinking, right? Like some people are going to just randomly go sacrifice themselves for some cause. And that's totally bizarre to me because it's not a logical thing, but they're acting for their faith or religion. And so funny enough, if it were up to me, I would actually say that no person in a position of power should be religious. They should renounce their faith because now they are beholden to their people, and they should be acting in a rational way, not with some ulterior backhand motive, which is to please their God. And, you know, there could be anything written in these holy scriptures that they've been indoctrinated into believing, right? Like there's a lot of fine text in there. What if there was a piece of text that said, there's only one land that is the Holy Land, and this country that you're in isn't it? Can you trust a leader who's going to say, well, they don't believe that your land that you're living in, that they're controlling and governing, is truly the Holy Land? So then they really have no vested interest in this land, and their goal maybe is to extract value from this land and to empower their Holy Land. I mean, for someone such as myself, and generally I'm not religious, you know I'm going to behave in a rational, self-preserving type of way. Whereas when you see religious people, you just don't know what they're going to do because there's all these random holy scriptures that they're following. And who knows, oftentimes it can even be at a conflict of interest with what is good for the public good. And so when I see large groups of religious people with power concentrated in a certain area, it does kind of concern me as well. And I wonder, do we need some more religious diversity in here as well? You know, I know that in the modern day, people like to say, hey, why don't we just be welcoming of everything? We have freedom of gender, freedom of religion, freedom of race, just whatever, anything goes, do whatever you want. But I think it's funny that we'll also whitelist certain religions. So, for example, if all these red people in power were of Al-Qaeda religion, that may be kind of concerning to people. And they would say, hey, what's going on here? Is there a chance for collusion? And the other concerning theme for me here is that the Jewish religion in particular is quite exclusion or inclusion based, whereas like a Jewish person typically should marry another Jewish person. And if you're not Jewish, then you don't belong in this group and you don't have that privilege. So I have to say, for me, at least, it got me wondering, do religious people view me as one of them, as part of their group? Or is this more of a power grab in order to strengthen one group of people over another? And I would say it's incredibly important that it was someone like Kanye West who brought up this discussion, because as a black person, his community was, of course, prosecuted for slavery. And then you've got the Jewish people prosecuted in the Holocaust. And, you know, both of these groups of people are kind of victims. And they kind of use that to acquire victimhood status in order to make themselves unassailable. And Kanye West moved past that, actually, and he actually began denouncing the Black Lives Matter movement. And so if anyone's a victim here, if any group suffered, well, it was Kanye West, because the black people probably suffered as much, if not more, than the Jewish people, right? And he's still asking people to move past that history and to let it go and to just focus on building the future instead of using the past as a way to, you know, gain sympathy. And so we can see here in Wikipedia, it states that whenever Israel faces a public relations debacle, then the Jewish organizations will orchestrate this extravaganza called anti-Semitism. And the purpose is severalfold. First, it is to discredit any charges by claiming that the person is an anti-Semite. It's to turn the Jews into victims, as if the Jews are being threatened by a new Holocaust. It's a role reversal where the Jews are now the victims. So it serves as a function of discrediting the people leveling the charge. And Kanye West probably was able to see through this and understand that, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movement, a lot of people were just looting stores and they discredited anybody by using their history. And so maybe in his perspective, Jewish people are also just using their history, the Holocaust, in order to automatically make themselves the victim in any scenario. The linguist Noam Chomsky also argued here that there have long been efforts to identify anti-Semitism in an effort to exploit anti-racist sentiment for political ends. Now, the funny thing, though, is that it is actually the Jewish people, the radical Jews known as the Zionists, who are actually considered racist. And actually, in 1975, the United Nations designated Zionism as a form of racism and racial discrimination and banned them. However, it was as recent as 1991 when Israel joined the United Nations that they forced the UN to repeal this ban and say, hey, Zionism should be okay. But there's been a lot of criticism of Zionism throughout history up to present day, where they note that Zionism is replete with manifestations of deep hostility and contempt towards the indigenous populations. And Zionism typically views Palestine as the Holy Land. So when they go out to these other countries, they typically view those as the indigenous groups of people. And so digging into history a little bit here, some have said that Zionism is more of a colonialist movement where they seek to conquer other lands and then to strengthen their Holy Land, Palestine. And so there's also this terrifying ideal in Zionism known as assimilation of Jews into the modern world, where the ideal is to abandon traditional views and opinions in an attempt at modernization and assimilation into the modern world, and therefore to integrate with other societies. So it's a cultural synthesis without necessarily losing their identity as a people by perhaps enforcing that they only marry within their own religious group of people. Now, during my travels one time, I was able to actually visit the Holocaust Museum and really sympathize with what was happening there with the Jewish people. This was over in Poland, but I also did see this pamphlet there, this book known as The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And this book is dangerous material. A lot of people don't like you taking a look at this book because this was the propaganda material that caused a lot of the anti-Semitism that caused much of the Holocaust, that fueled a lot of the hatred against Jewish people in Nazi Germany that was used by Adolf Hitler. But I love conspiracy theories. So to give a little context, this text described how Jews were trying to assimilate as potential infiltrators to take over society in this international conspiracy network, and how there was going to be this elaborate plan where Jews would be kings of the world in 100 years. Now, the disconcerting thing about this is there is this World Zionist Organization, which is this mysterious group of people, and they've got like hundreds of thousands of people spread across various countries, and they're this strange radical religious organization, and they were banned in the Soviet Union, but I believe they do continue to exist today. I don't know what they do. Maybe they should just open up some transparency and live stream their meetings online so we know what they're up to. But luckily for us, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion book was classified as a fake, right? It was just fake propaganda. It was plagiarized from various sources, and it was just made up, totally fake stuff. So the idea that a group of religious people are trying to take over society and become the kings of the world is totally false. But to better understand anti-Semitism in modern days, we can see here, even Henry Ford here, he had the distrust of Jewish people. He said that the only statement he cares to make is that even though the protocols may be fake, they totally fit what is going on. They have fitted the world situation up to this time. Now, this was such a dangerous statement, he later had to issue a retraction and an apology disclaiming personal responsibility, so he was basically canceled. And an interesting note, he was also an admirer of Nazi Germany. So if you drive Ford cars, that's a fun fact for you. But anyways, I think Henry Ford had this sentiment because the protocols stated that we shall surround our government with a whole world of economists, bankers, and millionaires, because in substance, everything will be settled on the basis of figures. So, I mean, it's probably just a coincidence, quite frankly, that a lot of the economists, bankers, and millionaires and the media tech organizations are controlled by Jewish people, just so happenly. But maybe it's creating some paranoia here as well, creating some of the anti-Semitism in the world. Personally, I thought it was interesting to note here that also Mahatma Gandhi was also canceled on his stance on Zionism, where initially he was stating that he expressed sympathy for the Jewish aspirations to reclaim their land of Palestine, noting that, well, it's wrong and inhuman to impose the Jews on the Arabs. Surely it would be a crime against humanity to reduce the proud Arabs so that Palestine can be restored to the Jews partly or wholly as their national home. But later, similar to Henry Ford, he had to retract his statements, nuancing his views to say he has refrained practically from saying anything in public regarding the Jew-Arab controversy. So personally, I just find it surprising that even half a century ago, people were being canceled. We had the likes of Henry Ford and Gandhi being silenced, and that silencing has continued to today with Kanye West as well being deplatformed from various social media companies. And I thought it was interesting to see what Hitler had to say about the protocols in Mein Kampf. And you know, this is just for historical context, not any support, but he said that the protocols are based on a forgery. And so he knew that, kind of a similar position to Henry Ford, but he noted that the important thing is with positively terrifying certainty, they reveal the nature and activity of the Jewish people and expose their inner context as well as their ultimate final aims, that being to take over society, which we have proven to be false today. And so I found this subject to just be incredibly nuanced with deep historical context in it. And I think that's one reason that Kanye said, let's just forget the history. Let's just move on past this. Because there's so much nuance to this. It's not simply like, hey, why don't we just have any gender, any race, any color, any religion, skin color, whatever, doesn't matter. This one, there's so much context in that. And actually, I was personally surprised one time, one of my close friends who will not be named came to me and said that Jewish people are parasites. And I was totally surprised to hear this. I was like, what are you talking about? This is crazy. What do you mean they're parasites? And I just said, yeah, you're crazy about this. But it turns out that there's an entire Wikipedia article about the Jewish parasite. There's actually historical terms for this. So this is another complete rabbit hole throughout history. There have been a lot of people who have discussed this. I don't know if it bears going through, but, you know, it kind of makes me wonder, why do people call themselves Jew? It kind of creates this group of people. And to me, it's kind of like, if I were to call myself a crusader, as in the Crusades, where 2 million people died in this war, and if you saw me and I came and said, I'm a crusader, what does that mean? What do I believe? Am I radical? You know, you don't know what that means. Why can't I just say I'm a human being, I'm a person, and then we all know I'm going to be rational and acting in self-interest. But similarly, if I came and said, hey, remember the Axis versus the Allies in World War II? Well, I'm an ally. Why do you have to bring that up? Why do you have to bring up this personal designation? Is some type of holy war still going on in your head? Is there some ulterior motive? Or can we all just say that we're modern people now? And I found this article even as recent as 2018, Israel, which is the land that the Holocaust survivors were kind of put into, that's basically Palestine. They proclaimed themselves as a Jewish nation state. And then the local Arabs there were very mad about this, because as I understand it, they were originally there. And so it just boggles me as, say, an unreligious person, that in other people's minds, there's actually this holy war going on where they're striving to claim power as this group of people in order to claim this religious land, Palestine. And that even today, in this modern digital era, you still see some people with religious fanaticism waging this holy war to claim the holy land. So you've even got billionaires out here like George Soros, who happens to be a Jewish person, and you know, maybe he's just a great guy, but it also raises some questions. What if he was a religious fanatic and he was using his wealth and status in order to wage holy war, right? Like, he's probably not. We can hope he's not, but there may be some people out there who are. And maybe we need to ask some of these questions. What if there were some conspiracy theory going on? There's probably not. But it also bears remembering that history is written by the victor. And in our version of history, the Jewish people won, actually, right? Hitler and Nazi Germany were defeated, and the Protocols of the Zion of the Elders was classified as false propaganda. However, I've also found conspiracy theories online that state that the Protocols were actually true. Now, it doesn't really matter to me whether they're true or false, but it matters to me that our system is robust enough to guard against any type of collusion possible, and we should be open to discuss that and call these out without having to necessarily go back to use history to claim victimhood status to make ourselves unassailable. And personally, I find it interesting to consider the ramifications and the legacy of essentially the Jewish people ultimately winning World War II with the Allies and Hitler's downfall, in which a lot of, say, Jewish values have permeated into the world. Like, for example, social justice is actually a construct of Jews. And so Hitler opposed the Jews for the values they brought into the world. Social justice, wokeism basically, that we see today, which has been permeating across tech and media, and this compassionate assistance to the weak stood in the way that Hitler perceived as the natural order in which the powerful exercise unrestrained power. In his view, such restraint on the exercise of power would inevitably lead to the weakening, even the defeat, of the master race. So, quite interestingly, if Hitler had won World War II, maybe we would not have such a woke society based on social justice, but it would be about this master race, about power. And even for today's conflict between Ukraine and Russia, is it just a coincidence that Russia just so happens to be the anti-Jewish group of people, the same with Arabs? And so the West has aligned towards Jewish values. Has this been caused by, say, propaganda in the media? We don't really know. So it kind of raises the question, how would our values be different if we did not win World War II and side with the Jewish people, in which their values of, say, social justice permeate more into the West, right? And so we kind of see Kanye West talking about abortion a lot today, and he's noting how so many of the black community, like 50% or so, are dying from abortion. And so in a way, it may be that this modern day value of saying that abortion is okay may be a legacy and remnant of Jewish values having permeated through the West as a result of us winning World War II. I mean, we don't really know. Like, this is just conspiracy theory. I don't know. Okay. But what's important is, let's imagine that all of these conspiracy theories, which I've brought up, happen to be true. Like, let's say there's some Illuminati crazy conspiracy theory to just take over the world. And it just may be one day that, hey, maybe Al-Qaeda is going to come in and infiltrate society, and through capitalism, take over all of our media and tech businesses and start brainwashing our societies. And there may merit a discussion to have some more religious diversity and thought in our media and tech organizations. Okay. You know what's funny? I even saw this article. I can't find it anymore. Someone can reference it maybe. But it noted how it was this group of fanatical Jewish people who had massive disdain for the rest of the other Jewish people who actually caused the Holocaust. Because in a way, the result of the Holocaust was that the Jewish people did get Israel and reclaim their holy land, Palestine. And so the small group of people were basically responsible for creating these world wars. And who knows, maybe there's also the small group of people with self-interest who are propagating the Ukraine-Russia war. And to me, the important part is that we should be able to question some of these narratives without people suddenly getting hurt and emotional about some historical victimhood status. So I think Kanye West has no hate in his heart. This is obvious in his interviews. But when he calls people out by a group of classification that they self-identify with, then they only feel hurt because they identify as that group of people. In a sense, you'll feel hurt the more strongly you self-identify with a group of people. And, you know, Kanye was saying that, hey, everybody's Jewish. He's Jewish too. Everybody's African. Everybody's the same. We're all the same. We're just people. And so, for example, if you came to me and said, Asians are dumb, I would just say, okay, I'm just not going to so strongly identify with this term and just be a person, a people. If you came and told me engineers are nerdy, I would just say, you know, I don't really classify myself really as an engineer, something that I kind of do on the side here and there, but, you know, I'm a person, I'm a world citizen. And so then I wouldn't take offense. So I hope you enjoyed the discussion. And to be clear, I'm not an anti-Semite. In fact, I once dated a Jewish person and I was dumped after the first date, but, you know, I mean, I did my part there. But otherwise, I hope you enjoyed the discussion. Let me know your thoughts on Kanye West. See you in the comments below. And if you liked the video, give a like and subscribe. See you in the next one. Thanks. Bye.
Why do we care for so many people's opinions is beyond me.
So people are dying of sudden adult death syndrome. That's because the injection is designed that the moment you try and exert yourself, the moment you try and fight back, it's for in the future. It's for what's coming. The moment you try and rise up and fight back, civil war style, you'll just drop dead. It's already been arranged that the moment you try and exert yourself, you'll drop dead. Now, lots of natural disasters are going to befall us. Viruses, floods, hurricanes, bushfires. And then these billions of dollars spent on these quarantine camps, we know what they are, will be offered up as the resolution. I don't care if you have to pitch a tent on the rubble of what used to be your house. I don't care if you have to walk through the floods and pitch a tent 20 feet outside the floods. Whatever you do, I am telling you, whatever you do, do not voluntarily walk into a FEMA camp in the USA or a quarantine camp anywhere else in the world. Do you understand? You may never come out again. This is a very, very long plan. The moment anyone tries to rise up, the moment anyone does any kind of exercise or physical exertion, they're gone. And this was a long, long plan. You need to prepare for what's coming. We need to prepare for what's coming. They've injected all the sheep. The wolves are left. The wolves. You need to organize. Don't give anyone your address, but you need to organize in each suburb a meeting place for if anything really major goes down, natural disaster or otherwise. Everything here is a lie. They're going to make it look like it was someone else's fault. It was a natural disaster. They are going to try and funnel people into those camps. And my advice to you is don't ever, ever voluntarily walk into one of those camps.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com.
the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others will take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest.